It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for your word. We ask that you might not only bless in our hearts the reading of it, but God, as we speak from it, as we listen, as we pour our hearts over it once again, we pray that you would just this day become very, very real in each of our lives in what you say. In Christ's name, amen. Romans 4:11 says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. I want you to get that phrase. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. In Genesis 15 and verse number 6, it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. It's referenced back to that. But what I want us to see in that verse is that he might be the father of all them that believe. Abram, or Abraham, as he's later called, is considered and many times called the father of those who have faith. The father of faith. And we see in his life a life that is directed because he simply believes God. In chapter 12, we saw that God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and called him to go to another land, to leave his home, to leave his family, and to travel into the land of Canaan. Canaan, as we discover, is a land that was cursed, or the people were cursed from way back during just after the flood. And we find that God is going to use the Jew in that curse. He's going to use them to bring judgment upon them. But it will be some many, many years later, about 400 as a matter of fact. And we find that God brings him to this land. Now, one of the things we notice, though he believed God, and I want you to take some heart in this one. How many have said, boy, I believe God, but you're like the man who looked at Jesus for his son and he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible, him believeth. And he says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Are you like that? I've often thought of that. Yes, I believe God, but boy, my unbelief is in overtime today. I'm just having these doubts and struggles with that. Well, let's understand, Abraham, who is considered the father of all them who shall believe, not only did he believe, but he was also a man that had some problems with believing. If you go back to chapter number 12 for just a moment, look at me with me for verse number 10. Notice what it says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." Now think about that for a moment. He is called to go to this land, but when he gets there, a famine comes. Understand that when God leads and directs, His will sometimes leads us to places or situations where we are in famine. It's not always the booming prosperity that many of us would have to us to believe today. By the way, the gospel is prosperous for our soul, but it's not always prosperous in our pocketbook. God may bless you, He may not. He may take you into deep poverty. Paul said, I've been abased and I've abounded. He said, I've been in both positions. Okay? And so Abram gets there, and what happens? A famine comes. And so he heads to Egypt. Now, I do not believe, and I don't say so, but I do not believe that that was the will of God for him. The reason being is because we find that it is not until, or at least it's not recorded until he gets back to Bethel, back to the altar, because in verse number 4 it says it is there that he what? Called on the name of the Lord. And so I don't believe he sought God for this. He saw the condition, thinks, man, I need to get out of here. This is bad business. He makes a decision, runs to Egypt. Things get better back in Canaan. He goes back to Canaan. And now we find him calling upon the name of the Lord. Though he believed God and left his homeland, it seems to me he was not perfect in his faith. You and I have been in that position. Okay? So take some heart. You're not alone. That doesn't excuse us. Doesn't make it right. But thank God, those who have real faith, they do rebound. They do rebound. You've been there, but what happened? The Bible tells us that the righteous what falleth down 7 times, but there's something else that says, and he getteth up. Okay? So you may fall, but thank the Lord, real faith, you're going to rise again. And take some heart. What I'm trying to say is, because you've messed up, don't get so discouraged and say, what's the use? We have a God that is gracious, who, when we cry out to Him, will lift us back up. He will do what's necessary in our lives. He is a good God. Amen. 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 Alrighty. This morning, I'd like for us to stop and look at 2 things very specifically. It's very well laid out here. It just jumps out at us. And that is, there's 2 choices that are made here. I want us to talk about Abraham's choice, and then I want us to talk about Lot's choice, and the consequences of those choices. And in Abraham's choice, I want you to see the faith that is once again being demonstrated in his life. So we find here that there is a problem. We find that between these two people, between the uncle and the nephew, between all that they have, there's strife. There's problems that are taking place. And one of the things we need to remember and understand, when substance becomes too important, there's always going to be strife. Let's go to 1 Timothy in our thoughts. You can turn there if you wish. Chapter 6, verse number 10 says, "For the love of money is what?" Okay. The love of money is the root of all evil. It goes on and says, "Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Is money wrong? No. It does not say that money is the root of all evil. It is our attitude toward it. It is our desires for it. Do you need money to live? pretty difficult without it. It's simply a medium of exchange. And so you do not have all the necessities in your life right there. Okay? So you need money to exchange, which is a representation of your work, of your time, to somebody else that you might get the things that you need. Just that simple. And of course, we also go after the things we desire. But there's the things that we need. And so money in that regard is a needed factor. Okay? We live in an unusual age. Money now is not so much paper as it is plastic, but it's still money. Okay? And now it's becoming not so much plastic, but going through the waves. Okay? Electronic transfers. And it's still money. Okay? It's still the same principle. And when it becomes too important to us, there's going to always be strife. And of course, that's what we see that takes place here. And both of them are very wealthy, and there's strife that is taking place as a result of it. Okay? I'm going to assume that there's some decisions made, and one doesn't like the decisions of the other. It doesn't tell us who. Abraham ought to have been the one followed. He's the senior. But I'm sure that, judging by what I've seen in Lot, that he's probably having some problem with his uncle here. And their herdsmen, those who are in positions below them, those who have been hired by them. There's some conflicts that are going on. And so we need to understand something very important. The love of money, it is the root of evil. It will, if we have the wrong attitude, we covet after it, it's going to cause us problem. And so we find that Abraham has a solution. And Abraham's solution is simply, we need to separate. We need to part company. You go one way and I will go another way. And what's very interesting to me here is God called Abram to Canaan, not Lot. Remember? Lot went with him. But what does Abraham now do? What does Abraham now do? In separation, he doesn't say, Lot, you go over there, I'm taking this spot. He gives Lot, he's acting like God, really. He is being gracious and giving him his choice. Whatever he wants. I mean, seriously, stop and think about it. Let's assume that you and somebody else in your family, you own all the stuff, and you say to the other, well, listen, you know, why don't you take your choice of what you want to do with all this? You probably wouldn't be wanting to do that. Abraham's saying, hey, you take your choice, you go wherever you want to, and I will take the leftovers. How many like leftovers? There are certain things we might like leftovers. But a lot of folks don't like leftovers. That's basically what he's saying. I'll take the leftovers. Whatever you want, Lot, I will take the other. Now, I want us to notice something with this. And I want you to think about this. Never saw this before. Never considered it before. That was an act of faith. See, how is that an act of faith? That was an act of faith. Basically, as he is saying that to Lot, he is saying in his heart to God, I'm going to believe God to give me still what He wants me to have. I'm going to believe God will take me through this. He brought me to this land. We've got a problem here. We're going to try to settle this problem. And He can do what He wants. And I'll let God put in His heart where He ought to go and give me what I should have. And so I look at this and I think, Abraham, your faith is back. Another reason I believe that, go back to verse number 4 again. He goes back to where Bethel, under the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So here they are back in this place. He is back in a position where he's worshiping God and he's put his faith in the Lord. Yes, he had a lapse. Yes, he was down in Egypt. That's my opinion. You can take however you want. But he went down to Egypt. He is back and now he's worshiping. Now he's at the place of the altar. And what happens? He is believing God to take him through this, whatever it might be. See? That's Abram's choice. If you go down to verse number 14, and we find what God does as a result of that. They're separated. Lot goes to the plains outside of Sodom. We'll look at that in a little bit. And the Lord said to Abram after that Lot was separated. Now notice when it takes place. When the worldly man is separated now from Abraham, God is going to bless him tremendously. And I love this verse. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. He is basically encompassing not only where they're at, but even where Lot's going. He says, all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forevermore. He reestablishes his covenant with him. And tells him, once again, verse 16, that he is going to multiply him exceedingly. Verse 17, I've preached on this verse a number of times in the past. He's giving the promise. He says, here it is. Look where it's at. Now do something. Arise. Walk through the land. In the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Boy, think about that, Christine. He is saying, take off. Wherever you walk, it's yours. Yeah. Walk through it. It is yours. Do you realize what that means to you and me? Let's put that in our own perspective. God has what? Given us so much. Our problem is, we stay seated rather than rising and taking possession. I'm not talking about material things here. I'm talking about the wonderful spiritual blessings that God has for us. They are available to you and to me. Let's take the idea of prayer. Arise, walk through it. What's God give us? God gives us the privilege to ask God for anything that we desire. Did you hear that word? Desire. Seriously. I mean, that's what he says. And whatever we desire, God wants to do that. You say, well, boy, that sounds kind of broad. Yeah. God wants you and I to pray. And the reason we never experience it, because we don't arise and walk through it. We will talk about it and we will say, boy, there is power in prayer. By the way, can I just rephrase that just a little bit? Yes, there's power in prayer, but it's because God is the answer of it. The power is in God. And sometimes we can begin to think, boy, I am powerful because I pray. No, it's God who wants to answer our prayers. So don't get the horse before the cart, as the old saying goes. But here we find that separation